Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, May the 7th, 2026. 12 coming up on 13 minutes past the hour. Glad to have you with us this morning here on WGH Talk Radio. Do want to remind everybody, when I go off the air this morning, we will have Voice of a People with Linda Sims from 10:15 a.m. until 12 noon. And then today we will have an episode of Adam the Computer Guy from 12:15 until 1 p.m. You won't want to miss any of those shows right here on WGH Talk. And I don't know if I got a chance to do it yesterday, but I did want to thank Allison Russo, who was the big winner on Tuesday night. She is now the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State heading into the fall elections. We congratulate her, as well as Robert Sprague, who is the current treasurer of Ohio. He will be the Republican candidate for Secretary of State, and I think that will be a very interesting election to watch in the fall, along with the gubernatorial race between Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy, and the treasurer's race, which I think is also going to be a very interesting one, between Jay Edwards and Seth Walsh. So definitely a lot going on as we head into the fall. And don't forget, Ben Weber here locally, he did get through his primary, but he will be facing off against Kent Holleran, the Democrat, in the fall for the 86th state rep seat. So that all is still to come as we head into the fall elections, not too far away, and we've got the 250th anniversary of this country coming up this summer. That, of course, I think is going to be a big thing for a lot of people, although I have not seen a whole lot of press about it so far. You know, we're what, 2 months away from that now? So it's kind of interesting in a way that there has not been a whole lot of press. I'm starting to see flags in more and more places, stores selling them, and people putting them out in their yards. And, you know, patriotism, I don't think anybody thinks patriotism is a bad thing. So maybe this 250th anniversary of the country will bring some people together for a few moments on July the 4th or the week of July 4th. And I'm sure as we get closer, we'll learn a lot more what the plans are and what the ideas are as we head into this big celebration milestone for our country. I do want to let people know we are always accessible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the internet, WWGH1071.com, or you can get us on the absolutely free TuneIn app by searching WGH Talk. And I know a lot of people listen to us on their Alexas. They listen to us on their Google Dots. They listen to us on their smart televisions, on their smartphones, on their laptops. You know, we're everywhere. We're everywhere in every country, in every country where free access is not blocked. Every state, you can pick us up. So I hope you do that, and I know a lot of our listeners go to Florida for the winter, and I know a lot of people listen because they want to stay involved with what is going on locally, and there certainly is nothing wrong with that. So those are the ways to listen, and, you know, it makes me think a lot because I was thinking about the death of Ted Turner yesterday at the age of 87, and I thought, you know, it's very interesting that it used to be about listening area. How far could your signal reach? But boy, the internet has changed that all. You can listen pretty much anywhere you like, at any time you like. And I'm not sure that that's a bad thing. A matter of fact, I'm probably sure that that is a very good thing, for the most part, that the access is there. And I'm not sure how Ted Turner felt about the internet. I don't know if I read a whole lot of things about his feelings on the internet, but certainly not somebody who shied away from change and things of interest in the broadcast industry, to be sure. So, everything is looking good here this morning, and I think we're all going to be happy now. We're just all going to sit in a happy mood here for a moment, because honestly, during elections, there is a lot of negativity for whatever reason. It's unfortunate that that happens, but it's over now, and we all can survive, and we all can continue to go down the road. So, here we are. Let's see here. Well, we might take a short commercial break here and see where we are, and then come back with much more continued great programming here on WGH Talk. You don't want to dare tune away, whatever it might be, because we've always got more coming up around the corner. Don't you dare go anywhere. WGH Talk is the place to be, as it always has been.
We're having fun every day on Now with Scott Spears. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, you know, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you, Scott Spears? Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunnally, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Friday.
Hey, gotta love that promo. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, May the 7th, 2026, 20 minutes past the hour here on this Thursday morning, and we are up to 68.9 degrees temperature-wise in the studio. So we're almost at 69 degrees. Now, I don't know what the temperature is. Oh, here's the temperature outside. 46 degrees and mostly sunny skies. It's very nice outside. But a little chilly here in the studio this morning. As I was saying in hour number one, again, it kind of feels like the house where nobody has kicked on the heat, so the coolness is just kind of settling in the room. It's not terribly cool. As I said, 69 degrees is not horribly cold, but just a little chill in the air here this morning at WGH Talk. And, of course, I do want to mention, programming-wise, we'll be on the air all morning tomorrow, starting at 8:15 in the morning, running until 1 in the afternoon. Fridays are always a lot of fun here. We get a lot of participation and a lot of conversation. And Matt Morgan joins me on Friday mornings. Then we've got the big Friday night show tomorrow night, 8:15 until 10 o'clock. That is a lot of fun, has always been a lot of fun. Different to come in during a different day part and discuss slightly different topics on the Friday night show. So that will be tomorrow night, and then Matt does his show on Friday night from 10:15 until 11, and I know he enjoys doing that. Now, there's always seemingly a mix of sports and politics on that show, and I'm sure that will continue tonight here on WGH Talk. Sports and talk. And, you know, this week, one of the things that kind of got glazed over because of all the elections is what's going on in the city. And right now, you know, the city's having a difficult time. The plan The financial plan, hopefully, to help start to fix things in Marion was sent to the state auditor on April the 6th, and we have not heard back anything as of Monday, as of today, about that plan. So it's been over 30 days now. We learned from the police chief, Jay McDonald, that the police department is down 8 officers. We've learned that the fire department, from Fire Chief Chuck Deem, is down 5 officers. You know, this is a problem. And apparently the reason that they are down this many officers is because of anxiety with the city's financial problems. And I think that's something that maybe was not, what should we say? It was not thought to be a big problem, but it certainly has turned in to a big problem, to say the least. And as we continue on this morning, this was a big week, of course, a big primary week here in Ohio, and we are so glad this morning to be joined on the program for the first time by a man who has been very busy this week, I'm sure. He is our current Ohio Secretary of State, Frank LaRose. Mr. LaRose, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, we had a big week. Election day on Tuesday. We had about 22% of our fellow Ohioans participate. We'd love to see that number go higher, but we ran another smooth election, and the people got to make their voices heard.
Absolutely. What is election week like for you? What are some of the things that you have to do?
Well, you know, one of the things that has unfortunately become a feature of election week and really the weeks leading up to election is last-minute lawsuits by people that want to try to change the rules in the final days. Thankfully, we've been able to win most of those, but we were actually getting decisions from the Ohio Supreme Court as late as Sunday and Monday. But then, of course, it's just a matter of a lot of logistics, making sure that 88 county boards of elections are ready to open over 3,000 different voting locations throughout the state, all right on time at 6:30 a.m. on Tuesday. Have to be staffed by about 30,000 poll workers, of course, bipartisan teams, yeah, Democrats and Republicans working together. That's how we do it in Ohio. 30,000 people, it's a big undertaking. And then, of course, all the machines and paper and all the different things. Election day is a lot of this is my military background, but focusing on what we would call continuity of operations. There's a lot of things that could go wrong that could derail any given voting location or maybe even a whole county. And our job is to make sure that none of those things can stop the show. And so on election day, it's everything from power outages to, oh, God forbid, maybe something with a law enforcement-involved response, like a violent incident or whatever else. You can imagine a lot of different things come up, but the main focus that we have is keeping the show on the road. And then all of that switches at exactly 7:30, because at 7:30 on election night, the main focus then is pulling in data from all 88 county boards of elections, validating that data, and reporting it quickly. We've got this novel idea in Ohio that we should have election night results on election night. Some states don't do that, unfortunately, or don't get it right. But we stay up, we brew a pot of coffee, and we don't go to bed until 100% of election night results are reported.
Well, we certainly appreciate that, especially in the broadcast industry, because we like to get those results that night. We like to see what's going on. You touched on it there, Mr. LaRose, and I want to talk about a few things this morning, and I appreciate the time. But we did have this unique situation this last go-around with gubernatorial candidate, former gubernatorial candidate Heather Hill, took it to the Ohio Supreme Court. We got the ruling on Monday morning. What exactly happened there, for people who don't understand it, why her votes were not supposed to be counted or accepted, and why was that the decision of your office?
Yeah, so, and unfortunately, these kind of things are not incredibly uncommon. In every given election year, there's some kind of last-minute challenge by some candidate or party for something. So in Ohio's law, and let's focus on this for a second, our job as an executive office, and that's what I am as the Secretary of State, is to execute the law faithfully the way it's written, right? It doesn't mean I get to just make things up. I have to do what the law says to the best of our understanding. And the law in Ohio is very clear. When a candidate runs for governor, they choose a candidate for lieutenant governor at the same time. They run as a ticket. They gather signatures to get on the ballot. they are validated that those signatures are right, and then they're put on the ballot. Ms. Hill did that along with her running mate. Over 1,000 Ohio voters signed a petition that says yes, she should be on the ballot. The cutoff for changing that is 70 days before the election. And so if they were to want to make a change, they could do that up to 70 days before the election. The only exception being is if one of the candidates are to die, unfortunately, and then there's a provision in the law for how to switch that out if one of the candidates dies. But when the lieutenant governor candidate for Ms. Hill withdrew from the race, he came to our office, submitted a form to withdraw his candidacy for lieutenant governor. You cannot, and the law is clear on this, you can't be a candidate for governor without a candidate for lieutenant governor also running. And so at that point, effectively, the campaign ended, or the committee ended, her candidacy was not possible as a single person without a candidate for lieutenant governor. So we notified her team, and unfortunately, she's been telling some false things on social media, which people do that when they're angry, I suppose. But our team was in close coordination with her on a near daily basis, let her know how the law works, what would happen, and then she decided to take that to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, let's be clear, like all the justices agreed on this, that we followed the law, and that we carried out the law faithfully. And again, emotions run high, but that doesn't change the fact that we have to do what the law says.
I would imagine, Mr. LaRose, that social media certainly plays an interesting part in your life now. Secretary of State here in Ohio since 2019, and a lot of people, when they don't win or their candidate doesn't win, they'll say things, elections were stolen, this wasn't right, people voted who shouldn't vote. In your time as Ohio Secretary of State, have you ever seen any abnormalities or problems in the way Ohioans vote?
Certainly not at a systemic level. On any given election, there are things that go wrong. We know about them. It's always very clear. It's usually a poll worker error, somebody that maybe didn't follow their training or whatever else. But it doesn't happen in the shadows. It's all very publicly known. We reconcile every election by doing a post-election audit. The numbers all have to total up. It's like balancing your checkbook. And so it's unfortunate that a lot of people sort of make up things. It's kind of like if your favorite team loses the game, sometimes you want to blame the referees, but generally that's not the way it actually went. But here's the standard that I've set for my team, and we live up to this on a daily basis. I've always told our team, we need to run our elections so well that even the loser knows they lost. And intuitively, the winner's going to know they won. They'll go out and give a victory speech. Our standard is to do it so by the books, so transparently, so well organized, that even the loser knows they lost. And that's the ideal of how it should work. About 10:30, 11 o'clock on election night, the losing candidate sees the results and says, you know what, the people have spoken, got to try harder next time, I'm going to call and congratulate the winner. And by and large, for the most part, that has been, that has been the case here in Ohio, and we're proud of that.
That obviously is a very good thing. How many people does it take to run an effective election in Ohio?
Yeah, the number is about 30,000. So think of Ohio Stadium, the horseshoe in Columbus. Imagine like an entire seating section full of poll workers, or for my fellow military veterans, imagine like two infantry divisions worth of poll workers. It's about 30,000 people. And what that means is that there's, several hundred full-time staff at boards of elections throughout the state. That's their year-round job. But on election day, it swells to over 30,000. That's the poll workers, the Democrats, the Republicans, the volunteers that are actually there that check you in at your voting location. By the way, it's not too early to start thinking about being one of them for November. We're always recruiting poll workers in Ohio, and VoteOhio.gov is the place to sign up. They'll give you 2 or 3 hours worth of training, and I think you'll feel good about it too, knowing that you were part of delivering another free and fair election for the people of Ohio. And think about this too, 17-year-olds can be poll workers in Ohio. That means as a high school student, you may not even be eligible to vote yet, but you can be one of the election officials. What a great education, what a great thing to put on a college application, for that matter. Shows a level of civic engagement and responsibility. So again, VoteOhio.gov, we're always looking for more poll workers, and you can be one of the team And by the way, after that experience, I think you will know why I say without a moment's hesitation that in Ohio it's both easy to vote and hard to cheat. We don't have to pick one or the other. We have convenience, and we also have security, and those two things go hand in hand.
Mr. LaRose, a couple more questions for you here this morning, because after Tuesday night, we now know that there will be we know who's going to be in the race for the next Secretary of State, Alison Russo, and Mr. Sprague, our current treasurer, and things will happen as we go down the road. Earlier this year, a couple months ago, your office turned over 8 million Ohioans' voter data to the President's Justice Department. A lot of people say you haven't explained this. What was the reason this happened for people who are saying that or people who don't know?
Well, I think I've done about 100 interviews about this where I have explained it, and we've also explained it in writing. But let me be clear about something. The law says, and this is the Federal Voting Rights Act and Civil Rights Act, says that it is the responsibility of the U.S. Attorney General to verify that states are maintaining accurate voter rolls. States have the responsibility of maintaining accurate voter rolls. The federal government, through the Department of Justice, checks to make sure that that happens. Now, I don't think that in the past that previous Department of Justices have put as much effort into that as they should. This Department of Justice has decided that they do want to do that, and in order to do that, you need to be able to look at the voter rolls. Now, here's the unfortunate part. People like Alison Russo, who want to try to make a political stink about it just for their own benefit, have really kind of misrepresented the facts on this, and that's what people do. They do the hyperbole thing to try to get a bunch of anxiety cranked up. Here are the facts. What I gave to the Department of Justice, the vast majority of it is already a public record. You can just go on our website and look at it. It's public information by definition. And so you can look at our voter rolls on the website. It's not something that is secretive. The only exception to that is a few additional pieces of data that I had to provide for them in order for them to do proper data matching, and meaning making sure that this person isn't registered in multiple states, making sure that this person is a citizen or not, making sure that this person is not deceased. And, of course, first name and last name is not sufficient for that. You need things like a driver's license number. Guess what? The Ohio BMV exchanges driver's license numbers with the federal government on a daily basis. You need things like a last four of a Social Security number. Not the full Social Security number, the last four of the Social Security number. Guess what? The federal government created your Social Security number. Do you think they have it already? I think they do. And so when we gave the voter rolls to the federal government, we weren't giving them anything that they didn't already have a way of getting. We were just providing it all in one package so it's easier for them to evaluate that. And by the way, they've been good partners on this. We've done a really good job of maintaining accurate voter rolls in Ohio, but another set of eyes on the process is always useful. And when they come to us and say, hey, because of our data matching and because of comparing data with other states, we've identified a few hundred people who are on Ohio's voter rolls, but we believe they're also registered to vote in another state. Well, guess what? Then we can do something about that. And there's nothing controversial about that. So you know, stop it with the hyperbole and the sky is falling stuff that people like Alison Russo do just to get her base excited.
As we head into the fall, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people feel that the top of the Republican ticket, Vivek Ramaswamy, has lost some momentum. He got 82% of the vote on Tuesday, but has lost some momentum from where he was last year. How do you feel about Vivek Ramaswamy, and do you think that he is in good shape going into the fall?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, it's May. It's a long time before the general election. These things ebb and flow. There will be a lot of different things that both campaigns try to do to get themselves attention. What I see is an absolutely record-breaking performance by Vivek Ramaswamy. He's been to all 88 counties, most of them on multiple occasions. Nobody's worked harder than he has. He's raised record amounts of money. That's an indication that Ohioans are excited about it. And most of those are small-dollar donations as well. So it's not just, you know, wealthy people. There are, many thousands and thousands of small-dollar donations that have made up that whole. But the most exciting thing about Vivek Ramaswamy is just who he is as a person. This is a transformative leader This is an innovative thinker, a man who is, a self-made entrepreneur who's been enormously successful by 40 years old. And he could do a lot of things with his life and be very successful at them. The fact that he has chosen to run for governor of his hometown, home state, I think is something that a lot of Ohioans can be excited about. I certainly am. I think he's got the capacity to be a tremendous governor for the state of Ohio. I've described it like this, and I've learned this from my military experience, but other aspects of life as well. There are leaders you have to follow because they outrank you, because they're in charge, and you have to follow those leaders. And that's never fun. But then there are those rare leaders that you want to follow, that have the courage of conviction, a clarity of vision, that have the energy and the leadership to actually bring a group of people together to accomplish that vision. That's who Vivek Ramaswamy is, and his vision for Ohio is nothing short of making Ohio the best state in the country to live, work, and raise a family. Not just one of the better ones in the Midwest, but truly an exceptional state for public education, for economic growth, for moving Ohio into the future. I'm for one, excited about that vision. I think he's going to be an excellent governor for the people of Ohio.
Why do you think the polls are showing so close, and even have Amy Acton in the lead in some polls? That hasn't happened for a long time with a Democrat running for governor.
Again, I think it's early, there are only a relatively small number of polls at this point. I think that both campaigns have done their internal polling. That's one thing. But there's only been a small number of public polls. But for most people at this point, it's just generic party identity. The average Ohioan probably doesn't know a whole lot about either of these candidates. They will get to know that over the summer and into the fall, as people start to really switch on and pay attention to this and do their research. But right now it's a lot of, hey, I'm just for the R no matter what, or I'm just for the D no matter what, or I'm undecided. And I think that's a lot of the kind of behavior that you're seeing right now. But listen, I'm confident Vivek Ramaswamy is going to win this. There's really no comparison between the two. There's a clear contrast here in a vision about moving our state forward in economic development, or sort of going back to the old ways of more taxes, more government involvement in your life. I think that Ms. Acton demonstrated that proclivity just a few years ago.
Now, Mr. LaRose, you're running for auditor as we head into the fall. How do you feel about this race?
I'm excited about it. I always start with what's the mission. The mission of the auditor's office is clear. It's really two main things. It's catching crooks that commit fraud, making sure that people who try to defraud the taxpayers of their hard-earned dollars face justice, and unfortunately that's always a necessity. Putting bad guys in jail because they're committing fraud is something that I would enjoy doing and I think be very good at. Although the part of the job that excites me the most is the role as the top watchdog for government efficiency. The auditor's office, of course, does a financial audit of thousands of different local and state government entities. But the financial audit, is as important as it is just the starting point. The auditor's office also has the power to do a thing called a performance audit. This is when you look into the management structure, the utilization of real estate and equipment and technology, personnel. In short, how efficiently is it operating? And newsflash, unfortunately, too often government entities do not operate as efficiently as, for example, the private sector would. Well, we need to change that, and the auditor's office is a great place to start doing that. Almost think of it as ODOGE, Ohio Department of Government Efficiency, and that's exactly how I plan to use it.
I want to ask you really quickly about our current governor, Mike DeWine. He's about to wrap up his 8 years as governor at the end of this year. What do you make of the years of Mike DeWine?
Mike is a senior statesman who loves this state and has done good service for the people of Ohio by and large. I don't always agree with him, but I can tell you his heart is always in the right place. He's somebody that cares deeply about this state, and I think his legacy will be a good one. Again, that doesn't mean that we agree on every policy thing. I think I'm perhaps a little bit more conservative than him on some issues, but he's a good man who loves Ohio.
What have you made of his defense of Amy Acton in recent months?
I'll let him speak for himself on that. The only thing I'll say is this. Any leader wants to take responsibility for what their team does. It's what the responsible thing to do is. If a member of my team messes up and does something wrong, I take responsibility because the buck stops here. That's what leaders do. And I just think that Governor DeWine is saying, hey, when she was a member of my cabinet, I was responsible for every decision that she makes. That's I understand him saying that. But the fact remains that her signature was on the document that did these things. She was the one internal advocating for those things, and so she has to bear responsibility for that as well. She's not just a cabinet member at this point. She's a former cabinet member who is now seeking to be the governor of the state of Ohio, and so she should answer for the decision she made and the advice that she gave when she was in that position of leadership.
And just one final question this morning in regard to elections. For people, for everything that's being said, for people who might have a concern that there might be new requirements put in before the fall, or that their vote might not count, or that something strange might go on in November, what do you say to them as far as voting goes here in Ohio?
Yeah, in Ohio, we've really set the example for the rest of the country. There's always talk about changes that could be made. There are proposals all the time at the State House or at the U.S. Congress. Only a very small percentage of them ever actually become law. It starts off as somebody's big idea, has to be debated in both chambers. And so draw a line between somebody's concept and what the actual rules are that are in place. The fact is that we've maintained a very sort of predictable and stable system of elections in Ohio, but the key also is that we find the balance. You don't have to choose between convenience or security. I think sometimes there's some harsh voices on both sides of the aisle from the extremes that say you have to choose either security or convenience. That's not true. We make it both easy to vote and hard to cheat. We've got 4 weeks of early voting. We've got absentee voting from home. Anybody who wants to vote by mail in Ohio can do so. We've got in-person election day voting. We make it convenient with online voter registration. The list goes on and on. There's only 5 states in the whole country that have Sunday afternoon early voting. We have that evening hours and all these things. So yeah, we make it convenient, but we also make it secure. And that means that we check IDs. That's not discriminatory. It's common sense. It's what most other states do. We take dead people off the voter rolls on a monthly basis. It's a lot of work, and we very much focus on that on a daily and monthly basis. We make sure only citizens are registered to vote. We have bipartisan oversight of the process. We do post-election audits. You know, all of these things add up to the fact that in total, we've achieved that balance in Ohio where we have both convenience and security. Don't listen to the partisan hyperbole. Don't listen to all of the fear-mongering that are out there from people with self-interested reasons for stirring up fear, and it's really irresponsible of them to do so. It's easy to vote, and it's hard to cheat in Ohio, and so you should make your voice heard and be part of that process because every election, bar none, is determined by the people that bother to vote.
Current Ohio Secretary of State and Republican candidate for auditor this fall, Frank LaRose. Mr. LaRose, I hope this is your first visit on the program. I hope it's not your last.
I look forward to many more. God bless. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. There's Frank LaRose, your current Secretary of State. Well, does anybody have anything interesting to say in regard to that? 740-383-9944. Always good to have somebody on, especially election week, like our Secretary of State here in Ohio. 740-383-9944. And again, these elections are going to be fascinating. I mean, you've got Alison Russo, and you've got our Treasurer Robert Sprague all up for this one coming up in November. Right around the corner. You know, it's not too far away. Here we sit in May. November is not that far off. And again, we thank current Ohio Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, for being on the program this morning. I think he said a lot of interesting things that are of interest to a lot of people. There's a lot of question right now in regard to voting and a lot of apprehension in regard to voting. So the fact that I think people can hear the top guy here in Ohio, Secretary of State himself, Frank LaRose, on a program like this, does a lot of good. And he's also running for auditor. So it's good to know what his feelings are in regard to that as he is running for office this fall as well. Interesting to hear his thoughts on Mike DeWine. and the gubernatorial race as well. And I thank him for his candidness this morning. That always helps a lot. So again, great to have Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose on this morning. All right, phone lines are open. We've got about 13 minutes left in the program here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And we got a good clarification there of why Heather Hill, why her votes were not counted for governor. So that was there as well. Okay, well, what have we went through today? Handling an election loss with grace, I guess, is one of the things we've talked about this morning. Hopefully there's a little more of that as we continue to go on down the road. I think we all want people to act maturely, and I think we all want our candidates to act maturely. I don't know that they always will, but most do. Most do. You got to say that. I always like to say this in an election week. Running for office is something I would never want to do, because I think it takes a lot of drive. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of stances on things. My hat's off to a lot of people who do that, because that's certainly something I don't think I would ever want to do. But the people who do it, and the fact that it all comes down to one day, and you find out, hey, I'm in, hey, I'm out. You know, that's tough. That is absolutely tough. Okay, here, what do we got? 11 minutes left in the program, and again, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything on your mind, feel free to give us a buzz, and we can discuss it. Earlier, we were discussing things that were going on here locally. I don't know how that's all going to shake out in the end. I really, really don't. It depends on who you talk to and what day you talk to them, how they feel about the financial situation in Marion. It really is rather difficult right now to predict what is going to happen here in Marion with the finances. And it's making a lot of people very nervous. Certainly the 8 police officers we lost, and certainly the 5 firefighters that we lost. Certainly can't say that they're not nervous about what's going on, and this is causing a problem. And I don't know how that all gets remedied. You know, if just the worry in general frightens people, This is important. This is significant. All right. 10 minutes left. Does anybody want to buzz in? The clock continues to run. Just like sands through the hourglass, these are the days of our lives as we go by here Thursday morning. Thursday already. You know, election weeks blow by. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay. What else is on our agenda here this morning? You know, I think about the governor's race a lot. I keep wondering how this is all going to shake out in the end, because you've got two people who essentially have never been elected to public office here. And I think it's very interesting what Secretary of State LaRose there had to say about Governor DeWine's defense of Amy Acton. You know, where is Mike DeWine in all of this? Where is Governor DeWine? Is he seen as a popular person? Do you want Mike DeWine's endorsement if you're in the Republican Party? Do you want Donald Trump's endorsement if you're in the Republican Party right now? Gasoline did come down a little bit. Last night I saw it at $4.89, so we came down a little bit. It was no longer $5. But, that's got a weigh on the party in charge, to be sure. When gas is up over $4, People don't like that. And again, I think it's the amount of time that it went up. I mean, back on February 24th, when the State of the Union was given, gas was maybe $2.50. And now here we are in the beginning of May, and it's nearing $5. Has increased basically 100%. You know, that's a steep climb by anybody's stretch of the imagination. Do want to remind everybody again, Voice of a People with Linda Sims comes up when this program's over today, 10:15 a.m. till 12 noon, and then Adam the Computer Guy today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything on your mind, feel free to buzz on in. Now, I think that it's good to hear from our Secretary of State that no elections, little things happen here and there, but no big discrepancies in the elections seem to be going on in Ohio. You know, that's become a very easy thing to say, is that elections are being stolen, and this is being done, and that's being done. You know, I don't know why people do that. Now, if we ever got some evidence that that was being done, maybe we could make that claim, but I have not seen that evidence. I don't think the courts have seen that evidence. So why that's still a thing, I have no idea. Well, what's going on in the world? Are people planting yet? Have people put out their gardens yet? You know, I'm not even sure if I'm going to try the tomatoes again this year. I don't think I tried them last year. Years prior, I had tried with the tomatoes. And some years it went okay, and some years it did not go okay. And I'm not sure yet this year exactly what I'm going to do. Now, last year, I don't believe I got into it because it had went so poorly. If anybody can kill tomatoes, it's me. I can manage to kill tomatoes out in the yard. But I don't know if I'm going to do it again this year. Now, some years, I have had just tomatoes show up in my yard. Now, I don't know if somebody plants them there or if that's left over from the year before. I've never heard of that with tomatoes, but it's nice every so often to see tomatoes just showing up in your yard. But I forget to water them, I think is the problem. And then I can't remember, are you supposed to water them in the morning? Are you supposed to water them in the evening? You know, there are all kind of processes that go into this. And I think you got to pay attention to those so you can be a good gardener. You know, if I ever leave the radio, that's what I'm going to become. I'm going to become a gardener. Peaceful lifestyle. Nobody criticizes gardeners on social media. You know, you can just sit back, watch your plants grow, watch the tomatoes come up. Basically grow your own food. With the food prices, I think this is a good thing. Does anybody have any good tips? I see Miracle-Gro. I see a lot of stores are starting to sell Miracle-Gro this year. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anybody'd like to weigh in here this morning, feel free with just a few minutes left. I guess we're under 5 minutes here on this Thursday morning. So it's always good to hear from the listening audience out there this morning, and I think this morning has been a good show, and hopefully an informative show. And again, tomorrow we'll be back with Matt Morgan, and I'm sure he'll have a lot more to say about what happened with the elections and what's going on in Marion. And I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow that maybe has to do with more, what would you say, flowery subjects. I still do think it was quite sad yesterday that we learned that Jason Schaber will not be running for office anymore. In his concession letter, I guess is what we would say, statement, He said three strikes and you're out, and he does not plan to run again. That's kind of interesting. All right, go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, I told you I might call with this update. So
all right.
Good guest. Well, it really happened. I didn't want to jinx it by kind of calling and, I guess, discussing it yesterday, but anybody who did watch Chicago Med last night, and typically about 6 million people, so I'm sure if someone in Marion has watched, whether or not he or she will admit to it, there were probably 20 Adam sightings. I was actually impressed by the amount that I was on. I was watching it with a friend of mine, and we were both rather pleased. You can watch the program with the NBC or Peacock app. It should be available for several weeks, and I can assure you, even if you take a bathroom break or something, my pretty face, which does look very good in teal, by the way, will make an appearance a couple times. I mean, you're talking 5-10 seconds, and sometimes they blur it a little bit, but you can see that it's I. But multiple, I'm going to try to put together a little video, a collage showing all my appearances, but maybe before I take care of some stuff today, just post a couple still photos on Facebook. But pretty cool stuff, and it was a really good episode also. So,
well, I'm glad to hear that went well, Adam.
And it's just, that's the last time I'll be on for this season, so hopefully I'll get a chance to do it again for the coming season. We shall find out.
Yeah, I guess it is May. The television season's wrapping up.
Yeah, that's the finale, which I'm not on. Is next week, and so it's something different. As I said, not happy with being on the radio, I had to try something else, so, you know, why not?
No, that's good. I think it's fascinating. Like I said from the beginning, I think anything people can branch out in is a good thing, and I think that's an interesting thing. Right place, right time.
Okay, so are you going to watch it, Scott?
Yeah, I'll have to watch it. I wasn't home last night, but I'll have to pull it up.
Yeah, it was your TV. That was your TV show.
Yes, it was. Yes, yes.
Anybody famous and important on?
No, last night.
Yourself, of course.
Well, of course, we had Mary Ellen last night. We just kind of recapped the election, and that was fun because she was at Dr. Acton's party on Tuesday night when she gave her acceptance speech.
Yeah. As I mentioned, well, Mary Ellen and I don't feel eye to eye on that person, obviously. But considering, I agreed with you, Casey Putch got like 16%. That's quite impressive. And obviously people aren't thrilled with Vivek. And so I get the feeling we will have our first female governor soon.
Could be. Hey, thanks, Adam, for calling in.
No problem, Scott. Have a wonderful day, and be sure to watch.
Yep, you enjoy. Bye-bye. Adam out there doing some great things, and our great thing is going to be signing off today. Linda Sims is up next for this day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The best guests in talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the